Mother's Questions and Answers, February 7th, 1957. This week, we do not have Mother's usual Wednesday class in the school playground. Instead, we have a small talk that Mother gave the Ashramites on Thursday evening, February 7th, just before the collective meditation. Unfortunately, we don't have a tape recording of this talk. Mother had a collective meditation for the whole ashram every Thursday evening in the playground, but we have no recorded record of these evenings because she usually doesn't speak before the meditations. February 7th, 1957 is almost one full year since the first descent of the supramental force, which occurred on February 29th, 1956. So, exceptionally, Mother is speaking to the people who come for meditation because she wants everyone to use the Thursday meditations to create a unified ground to collectively achieve the maximum receptivity to the new force. The new force has been steadily descending and working in the Earth atmosphere since it first came, but Mother says that very few people are aware of it, even 1 year later. After it first descended, she said that only 5 people knew about it, 2 in the ashram and 3 outside the ashram. We started reading Mother's classes of 1956 back at the beginning of January, with the idea that we could find the history of the descent of the supramental force as it manifested in the ashram, where ashramites already knew about it and were expecting it. We saw that Mother was expecting it in 1956, and she told the people in the playground that it was best not to anticipate what was going to happen. She said it should not even be talked of, and especially, nothing should be predicted. At that time, she pointed out that many people were not capable of seeing the new manifestation. In a class about 2.5 months before that, on October 12, 1955, she described the condition of consciousness of a person who would be capable of seeing the new manifestation. She said, quote, "Only those who will have thrown themselves in entirely, risked all for all, those will know it. They will know when it takes place. The others will not even be aware of it." And we saw that she waited for people to come forward on their own to tell her they experienced it. She didn't ask anybody anything. We have not seen people coming to tell their experiences in Mother's classes up to now. The new supramental force descended in the evening on February 29th, 1956, during a meditation after Mother's regular Wednesday playground class. She did not say anything about it. She went to her room afterwards, and she wrote the well-known message about breaking the golden door so that the supramental force descended on Earth in an uninterrupted flow. But Mother did not release this description of her experience until 4 years later. She released it on February 29th, 1960. And she called February 29th, 1960, the first anniversary of the descent, even though the new force had been manifesting and acting in the Earth consciousness for a full 4 years by then. The first official message that Mother gave about the manifestation of the new force was 2 months after the new force came. She wrote a message for the April 24th Darshan, which said, quote, "The manifestation of the supramental on Earth is no more a promise, but a living fact, a reality. It is at work here, and one day will come when even the most blind, the most unconscious, even the most unwilling, shall be obliged to recognize it. She also gave out a message on April 24th, which said, quote, "Without care for time, without fear for space, surging out, purified from the flames of the ordeal, we shall fly without stop towards the realization of our goal, the supramental victory." Sri Aurobindo had come to tell Mother that the supramental would descend two or three times before it came, but he never gave her the exact date. We can speculate that Sri Aurobindo might have known the date, but he did not want her to anticipate the experience ahead of time so that it would be entirely pure and completely clear of preconceived ideas and feelings. Mother wanted this for the Ashramites when she told them not to talk about it or predict what would happen. She had thought it would come on April 23rd, 1956, because the numbers on that date were 23456, 23456. So it appears that Mother never even imagined it would come on February 29th. We know that Sri Aurobindo had been told by a being on a higher plane that the supramental consciousness would manifest in 1956 or 1957. In his diary, The Record of Yoga, he wrote about doing automatic writing, where a being from another plane used Sri Aurobindo's hand to write answers to questions Sri Aurobindo asked him. In one writing, a high being gives his calculation of, quote, 42 or 43 years for the changing of the world in 1956, 1957, complete. So it seems that the supramental manifestation here on Earth was of great interest to beings in higher planes also. Most likely, there were higher beings in the cosmos who were also working for the new force to come, just like Mother and Sri Aurobindo were working for it. Yet, even though there were so many in the ashram who had given themselves and their whole life to make themselves ready, the questions and answers in Mother's classes from February 29th of 56 up until now, February 7th, 1957, these questions and answers show that people have nothing to tell about any experience with the new force. We saw that Mother waited patiently for people to speak. But something different is happening here a year later. Now Mother comes forward to help in a new way. She must think that people are now ready to receive it, because here she is organizing the people in the collective Thursday evening meditations to work as a group to receive the new force as consciously as possible. Mother starts her talk with speaking about different collective meditations, which she says are all equally good, and then she gives two methods which people can use. She says that both methods are ways of opening the consciousness and keeping it open. Mother tells the ashramite that she will speak in a general way, and she uses the words, quote, "the person who is directing the meditation," end quote. But since Mother is leading the Thursday night meditations in the playground, we can be sure that she is going to direct the supramental force in some way so that people will be able to receive it when they do what she tells them to. Most likely, she's already come prepared with some kind of a plan. It's good to remember that Mother and Sri Aurobindo took birth in human bodies at this time, when they did, for the purpose of bringing the new consciousness. If one looks carefully at everything they did and said and everything they wrote, it was always about this, that the new consciousness was coming, what they were doing to bring it, what happens when it is here, and what they did and still do to help us to have it. The ashram was formed as a laboratory of consciousness for the first people to work for it and receive it. Oroville was created to be the cradle of the new man, for people conscious of the fact that the new consciousness was manifesting. Oroville is to be a place where people would also work to receive it. Here in Mother's Talk before the collective ashram meditation, we have another example of what Mother was doing to help the receptivity to the new consciousness. Unfortunately, we don't have a tape recording of Mother's Talk this time, so we won't be able to hear how she speaks the way we can in her classes to the students. It's February 7th, 1957, Thursday evening. The ashram is assembled in the playground for the collective meditation. Everyone has come for meditation. Nobody is expecting Mother to speak. As we sit here, waiting to meditate, Mother speaks, and she says, "Before the meditation this evening, I'm going to say a few words to you, because several people have asked me the difference between a collective meditation and an individual meditation. Individual meditation, I have already explained to you many times the different kinds of meditation that are possible, and I won't begin to speak to you about that again. But collective meditations have been practiced in all ages for different reasons, in different ways, and with different motives. What may be called a collective meditation is a group of people who gathered together for a definite purpose. For example, in all ages, it has been a practice to gather for prayers. Naturally, in the churches, it is a sort of collective meditation. But even outside the churches, some people have organized collective meditations for group prayer. These prayers are of two different kinds. From the beginning of human history, it is known that certain groups of people would meet to express a certain common state of soul. Some to sing together the praise of God, hymns, thanksgiving, to express adoration, thankfulness, gratitude, and to praise God. Others, and there are certain historical examples of this, a certain number of people gathered together for a common invocation, for instance, to ask God for something. And this was done all together, united in the hope that this invocation, this prayer, this asking would carry more weight. There have been some very famous instances. A very old one occurred in 1000 AD, when some prophets had announced that it was the end of the world, and everywhere people gathered together to offer common prayers and ask that the world may not come to an end, or anyway, for it to be protected. Much more recently, in modern times, when King George of England was dying of pneumonia, people assembled in England, not only in the churches, but even in the streets in front of the royal palace, to offer prayers and ask God to cure him. It so happened that he recovered, and they believed that it was their prayers. That is, of course, the most external form, I could say the most worldly, of group meditation. In all initiatory groups, in all the spiritual schools of ancient times, group meditation was always practiced. And in that case, the motive was quite different. They assembled for a collective progress, to open together to a force, a light, an influence. And this is more or less what we want to try to do. However, there are two methods, and this is what I am going to explain to you. In both cases, one must practice as one does in individual meditation, that is, sit in a position at once comfortable enough for one to be able to keep it, and yet not too comfortable for one to fall asleep in it. And then you do what I had asked you to do while I used to go for distribution over there. When Mother says over there, she means a smaller playground area on the west side of the big playground. Every evening before meditation or the talks, Mother used to distribute groundnuts to the children of the green group in this adjoining playground. She had told the children how to behave while they stood in line, waiting their turn to receive the nuts from her. And she told them how to prepare their consciousness to receive what Mother was giving when she gave them the groundnuts. So Mother says, and then you do what I had asked you to do while I used to go for the distribution over there. That is, prepare for the meditation. Try to become calm and silent, not only to avoid chattering outwardly, but try to silence your mind and to gather your consciousness, which is dispersed in all the thoughts you have and all your preoccupations. To gather it, bring it back within yourself as completely as possible, and concentrate it here, in the region of the heart, near the solar plexus, so that all the active energies in the head and all that keeps the brain running may be brought back and concentrated here. This can be done in a few seconds. It can take a few minutes. That depends on each one. Well, this is a preparatory attitude. And then, once this is done, or done as well as you can do it, you may take two attitudes. That is, an active attitude or a passive attitude. What I call an active attitude is to concentrate on, I shall put it in general terms, to concentrate on the person who is directing the meditation, with the will to open and receive from him what he intends to give you, or the force with which he wants to put you into contact. That is active, for here there is a will at work and an active concentration to open yourself to someone, a concentration on someone. The other one, the passive one, is simply this: to be concentrated as I have told you, then you open yourself as one opens a door. You see, you have a door here, and Mother makes a gesture at the level of the heart. You have a door here, and once you are concentrated, you open the door and stay like this. And then Mother takes a posture of immobility and shows immobility. Or else, you may take another image, as if it were a book, and you open your book very wide, with its pages completely blank, that is, quite silent, and you stay like that, waiting for what is going to happen. These are the two attitudes. You may take one or the other, according to the day, the occasion. Or you may adopt one of them out of preference, if it helps you more. Both are effective and can have equally good results. And so now, for our special case, I shall tell you what I am trying to do. It will soon be a year since, one Wednesday, we had the manifestation of the supramental force. Since then, it has been working very actively, even while very few people are aware of it. But still, I thought the time had come for, how to put it, for us to help it a little in its work by making an effort of receptivity. Of course, it does not work only in the ashram. It is working in the whole world and in all places where there is some receptivity. This force is at work. And I must say, the ashram hasn't an exclusive receptivity in the world, the monopoly of receptivity. But since it so happens that all of us here more or less know what has taken place, well, I hope that individually each person is doing his best to benefit by the occasion. But collectively, we can do something. That is, try to unify a ground to produce a particularly fertile soil to obtain collectively the maximum receptivity and to have as little wastage as possible of time and energies. So now you have been told in a general way what we want to try to do, and you have only to do it.